meeting that's recorded.
And this is recording, yep.
All the boys are coming up.
Okay, welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt Council meeting for November 21st, 2022. It is 7:03 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on October 28, 2022, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood.
Late, but here.
Not so late.
Mr. Lou Esikoff is absent.
Late-ish.
Mr. Michael Hamilton.
Still here and kicking.
Ms. Thompson Herstrom.
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker.
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell.
Here.
Mayor Peggy Malkin.
Here. Well, in lieu of a report, we have a lot to discuss tonight, so we'll just discuss the different issues as they come up. But we went out of order tonight so that we can have a presentation by our borough engineer, Carmela Roberts, who's going to talk about the sewer plant trickling filters. So, sure, can we come up to the mic?
Oh, let me turn that one on.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, Mayor and Council, my office and my staff spent quite some time doing an analysis on paper and an analysis in the field at the sewer plant. And as you might recall, Mike Lyons, the sewer operator, has been saying for over a year now that he's having some trouble with the trickling filter. There have been leaks in the seals. And first, let me ask, does everyone understand what a trickling filter is?
Maybe for the
yes?
recording, you could just give a quick
overview.
Okay.
Explanation.
You have two 40-foot concrete tanks that are filled with plastic. It's about 10 feet, 8 to 10 feet deep. And water comes into those tanks up through the center in a big distribution arm, and then the water is spread to distributor arms that move around in a circle. They have holes in them, essentially, and the water trickles out of the nozzles. You know, if I was the center column and I just spun around and water dripped from my arms, that's the trickling. And the filtering happens when that wastewater lands on the media, the plastic media. And what it does, what happens, is that bacteria grows on the plastic. And that bacteria essentially eats, right, the some types of the waste. Trickling filters reduce suspended solids. They reduce something called BOD. They don't do other things, right? So your trickling filter is trickling and it's filtering, but it's in dire straits. The media, the plastic media, has been replaced at once, I believe. Prior to the plastic, we had rock. And the concrete tank has been repaired. It looks like once. It looks like a metal mesh was put all around the outside, and then like a gunite, shotcrete-type material was added to that. But it looks like the column and the arms are original. We don't have any records. We've checked with the maintenance companies that work on those trickling filters, and they appear to be from about 1940, right? Mm-hmm. And so we always knew that the column and the arms were at the end of their life. When we remove the column and the arms, we're going to damage the plastic media, so we always knew the media would have to be replaced to get the trickling filters in good condition. What we didn't know for certain was the concrete. So we had a company come in and drill cores into the side of the tanks. And what we found was striking in the condition is so poor. It's just rubble. It's dust. It's nothing. There's no life left in the tanks themselves. And the trickling filters also have an underdrain system. And you can look in the bottom and you can see there's some trouble there. But your concrete tanks have been repaired at least once. The internal mechanical parts need to be replaced. The media would have to be replaced anyway, but the big problem is the concrete tanks. Your trickling filters are failing, and they're about to be non-operational. You cannot continue to treat water to meet your New Jersey permit if you don't have trickling filters. You need two, and you also need redundancy per DEP. And so, because of that, what we thought was going to be an analysis of what to do for your trickling filters and how much it might cost to do that, we looked a little further. And I sent you a letter, and I said, you got to do this, but I want to talk about it a little more. What I said was, you've got to replace your trickling filters, yes. And then I said, consider moving them. Consider moving them outside where the fence line on your plant is right now. Right. If you do that, it's probably a $3 million project, right? Because we're moving really big, heavy tanks closer to the wet areas, and we expect the soil's going to be less stable, so we might have to drive piles to put those tanks in. Things we don't know. But what that does is provide you room within your treatment area for anything else you might need. Let me back up now. Your treatment plant is subject to what's called an NJPDES, New Jersey Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit, issued to you by the state, and it tells you exactly the quality of the water that you can discharge to the Assanpink Creek. So it tells you how deeply you have to treat the water, how clean it's got to be before it gets out there. Those permits are issued every 5 years. And with every new permit issued, if DEP wants you to make a change, they tell you to begin to monitor a certain parameter of wastewater, and they put you on notice that you're going to have to meet that parameter in 5 years. So there's always this five-year look ahead. They don't say your permit's in January, you got to meet a new effluent limitation. The permit that was issued as a draft 3 years ago, right? So your five-year permit will expire in 2 years. It was issued as a draft 3 years ago, and in the draft, there was a very rigid phosphorus level, 0.1 milligrams per liter. It's really, really low, and your plant couldn't possibly meet it. But by the time the final permit was issued, that was removed, and it's not in your permit at the moment. I followed up on this. I spoke with the bureau chief from DEP. They confirmed that at this time, they're not asking for a change. But no one can tell us when that limit might change or if it might ever change. So in 2 years, there's going to be a new permit issued, right? We're on the edge of having to replace the trickling filters. And the decision that I really think I'm here to help you with tonight or to ask you to make is, do we just replace the trickling filters where they are, as they are, or do we try to, for lack of a better word, guess what might come from DEP? in 2 years? I can't guess. I don't think none of us can. Right? It's the difference between probably $2 million to replace those trickling filters and $3 million to replace them. But we don't know if your permit is going to change in 2 years. We don't. They never get better. That's a federal law. There's something called anti-degradation. You cannot go back. Once a limit is issued, it will never get easier. So you're just working always towards more rigid effluent limitations. The report, you know, asks you to think about how do we face the future, knowing that your permit's going to come in 2 years, maybe 2.5, because they're not always right on time with these permits, and knowing that you can't wait 2 years because of the risk of failure of those tanks is a crisis. It will cost you far more to try to suddenly have them replaced, and you may very well not meet your permit limitations, at which point DEP will fine you. And they don't hesitate, ask Mr. Cannon here. They don't hesitate. We know of a small town, let things go and go and go, and they were fined $240,000?
In total, yeah, it was like $260,000.
Yeah, yeah.
It's $5,000 a month for going over the effluent limitation limits.
Their trouble was ammonia. Yours, maybe phosphorus. We don't know what's coming. As you think about all of this, I want you to also think about your treatment plant was built in about 1940-41. There was an upgrade, the only one that I'm aware of, about 1990. And at that point, there were certain tanks that were changed to sludge holding. There were clarifiers added. It was an upgrade. The electrical system was all brand new, new motor controls, new pumps. Everything there now is 30 years old, right? And things only last so long. I'm not recommending anything at the moment, but I am informing you that hard decisions are coming. The decision you must make right away is, shall we just replace those trickling filters as they are, because we don't know what the future might bring, or would we think about moving them to get you a little space inside? And I really don't know an answer for you. I know part of what you do there is you have about almost 200,000 gallons a day of water that runs through, and about half of that is just water, that groundwater that seeps in through all of the breaks and the cracks and the open joints in your pipes. If we could reduce all of that excess water, we don't need tanks that are as big as a tank that needs to accommodate 200,000 gallons in a day. We did just receive some video from Mike Lyons of certain pipelines in the borough. We're in the process of reviewing, but we already know there's a lot of water that comes in just from Tamara to the treatment plant. It's all through the wooded area. It's all through the wetlands. It's already a problem that we know about. And we suspect there's more, and those are the videos we're looking at today. Right? Joe, you want to add something? Okay. You've seen...
I've seen this, a lot of it. I haven't seen the new video, but I understand there's a rock, there's a hole, there's patches. We do know where some of the water comes from, we think, and that might be locally produced. We have to get a little more serious about telling people not to dump their sludge pumps into the sewer.
The sump pumps, right, yes, we do. Okay. There's certainly education.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. Well, between Tamara and the sewer plant, we know there's a dip
right
within 60 feet of the plant. We
That's
know
right.
that has
mm-hmm.
to be dealt with.
And dips are a problem because they collect solids. They collect the heavy stuff. And once one little bit of heavy gets stuck, something else catches on it, and it just, you know, just grows until you've got a backup heading out into your system towards your homes, right?
And they did find, Mike actually found a additional manhole near the plant that was covered with growth, and nobody knew it was there. They went into that, and they took about 5 or 6 5-gallon buckets of grease, pure grease, out of that one. That was about a year or so ago.
Oh, okay. I thought it was recent. I'm like,
again. No, it's called
about a year again.
They call those grease birds, you know, and they're all over the country, and people have to be real serious about what they put into the sewer. You can't put your bacon fat in, stuff like that. We had a meeting with you and Tack, your pipes guy, and Mike Lyons at the sewer plant. It was an open public meeting, actually, and a dozen people showed up. And there was discussion about the footprint of the plant at that time and whether or not to try to remediate the phosphorus, whether it could be accommodated within that area there. And I see now you've got about 3,000 feet off to the what would be the north side of the plant. How much would that put us through? I mean, footing and stuff like that, but it's just about into the wetlands, if not into the wetlands. All of the permits and the DEP, the EPA.
Another unknown is, I suspect we could get a permit to push the trickling filters out, further out towards towards the wetlands, but not in the wetlands.
The west side.
I always get confused.
Well, the rear.
Yes,
where they are
the rear.
Now, but
that's right, the rear.
Okay, there's a creek.
And
there.
Who knows what might change with permitting around the Assenpink and around a wetland and a riparian area. So most of what I have to tell you is there are a lot of things we don't know, a lot of things that could change. Things could be harder for you. They could be the same for you. You're at a certain point. You do need to have a plan for upgrading your electrical system. There are pumps that are old.
The generator might have to be
replaced. Tanks haven't been painted in years and years, and there's steel tanks, and you have to paint steel, or they corrode. It just costs more to do repairs and then still paint them.
Now you just did a sewer plant in Allentown.
We did.
From the ground up?
Practically, yes.
How much did that run? How much?
Well, it's bigger than what you have here. And that was a full-blown rebuild. That was $4 million. Now, what we did was use an innovative treatment system, IFAST, Integrated Fixed Film Activated Sludge. And so in one tank, we combined the fixed film, which is the bacteria type that grow in trickling filters. If you remember, the bacteria grows on the plastic media. That's called fixed film bacteria. And then there's another treatment process. These are usually two separate processes where you blow a bunch of air into your tanks, and they're boiling practically. And all of that oxygen allows a different type of bacteria to grow, called a suspended growth. It's also known as activated sludge, right? Because there's a certain kind of sludge that's developed from it. We used a system that is high intensity, high rate, and does that treatment all in one unit, which is how we were able to keep the cost down. It was going to be a $6 million plant were it done conventionally. But we did a full upgrade to their electrical system. That was $1 million. We redid their sludge system and sludge holding. We rebuilt and upgraded any of the other tanks that were remaining. We redid the entire thing. They've got a plant that will last them many years. However, if you're thinking of this, so the IFAST tank has little pieces of plastic, only about this big, you might even, they resemble like little pasta wheels. They've got all kinds of nooks and crannies to them. They will only last about 10 years, right? And then they need to be replaced. So everything's got a good and a bad. Everything's got a continuing maintenance cost to it. And everything has a different size. Had we put in a trickling filter and an activated sludge tank, that tank was going to be 30 feet out of the ground. Blowers were going to be making noise all day long. And I think the diameter was about 60 feet. It was a behemoth, along with the trickling filter. And the difficulty in Allentown is very similar to you. No more room. You know, just a small area just like you have.
Yeah.
And as you try to move water, the wastewater, from one treatment unit to another, it all has to somehow make it by gravity. And as you go through treatment and the water makes its way down, you got to pump it up and move it somewhere else, and you pump it, and that's what we do for you, right? Try to find the best way to do this.
So should we accommodate trickling filters that does not include the phosphorus?
That's right.
And if we did the phosphorus, would that fit into the footprint of where the old trickling filters, assuming that the new ones get built outside the fence?
We think so. We just did a very conceptual look. You know, it's quite an analysis to try to figure that out. I know that there's certain additional components you will need, and if we leave the trickling filters where they are, I don't know that we can fit them. Or if we squeeze them, we will have pump after pump after pump to move things from here to there to back here to over there, because that's how your tanks are set up at the moment.
So there would be
It would be
additional piping and pumps no matter what.
No matter what.
Possibly a change of generators because of the voltage output, the amperage output.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I don't think the voltage is a problem, but the generator would probably not be large enough if we have to bring in more pumps and more mechanical equipment. The trickling filters won't change your generator at all.
Okay, because that's almost like gravity fed.
Right.
Just the pushing of the water out makes the arm spin. My God.
Anybody giving any money around?
Giving, loaning. Giving for wastewater plants, no. I have yet to find a source, even through the infrastructure bill.
So how do we do something like this? We're a very small town.
Understood. The best that I know of is the infrastructure bank. You use it for your water system. It's the wastewater side. They call it the clean water side versus drinking water. So it's clean, but you know, we're starting with the wastewater at very low interest loans. It's very similar. 50% is zero interest. 25% is the federal rate. 25% is the state rate. But there is no principal forgiveness on the wastewater end for the infrastructure bank.
Is there any possibility, this is like a long shot, I mean, the town was built by the government, the water plant and the wastewater plant were built by the government, and they lasted almost 100 years here. Is there any way, as a historical town, that we could...
We tried that in 92 when those major upgrades were done.
Well, that was when you
and
put $2.5 million in.
Yeah, and we were denied any kind of help from the federal government.
Right. I was hopeful, because I've been watching for over a year now, that the infrastructure bill would pour money into the state, but it has not poured in wastewater to any degree, and it hasn't poured its way down. I just don't know.
They'll give it to the state to give to us.
If
by that time, we got nothing left.
Right, but with whatever amount that they got, they really didn't even get a lot on the clean water, the drinking water side.
You know, to come to a town like this for $4 million.
Well, actually, it's $3 million for the trickling filters and $2 million for the phosphate reduction. It looks like $5 million for the...
I don't know for certain.
Well,
Joe?
Let's say $4 million. Enormous amount of money.
That it is. Yeah, right, I'm in agreement. I'm complete agreement with you.
I'm just curious, the rigid percentage for phosphate, the 0.1, is that uniform across the state or specific to Roosevelt?
It is specific to whatever water body you discharge to. Yeah.
To a fish and wildlife game, Assapank Lake.
Everything that's wonderful about it here is going to, is what's going to do us in financially.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen with phosphorus limits. I don't know if they're going to change ammonia limits. We don't know how your next permit might be or whether there's a new, you know, parameter to treat for. We don't know. Something will be here in 2 years, but before 2 years comes, we have to do something with the trickling filters. And having gone through all of this, I don't necessarily ask you to move the trickling filters because that's another $1 million, and we don't know for certain that it will be a benefit to you 2 years from now.
How is the phosphate reduction working at Allentown with the... It reminds me of a fish tank under a gravel filter.
Right. Allentown's trouble was ammonia.
Oh, fine.
That addresses ammonia. Yeah. They meet the phosphorus limit. They meet all their limits at this point, but they could not get ammonia under control.
In their old plant, did they meet the phosphorus?
Yes.
How come?
Yes, because they're discharging somewhere else. You meet the phosphorus now.
Yeah. We're right at the end.
You're in an area where... It's possible DEP may hit you with a harder limit.
When you talk about a crisis in 2 years, does that mean that we would have to be bringing water in trucks to give to the town?
No. Wastewater, the sewer plant, not the drinking water.
And I don't mean a crisis in 2 years. I mean, if you don't do anything and your trickling filters start collapsing, you know, failing, that's your crisis when you can't treat your wastewater properly or you are spilling your wastewater into the Assapank. That's a crisis, and you can't wait to figure out how to fix that. The state will demand that you declare an emergency and get something done right away. Anytime you declare an emergency, it raises the price. Right.
And because so to do what is to do what you're suggesting at this point.
Right.
So it's just delaying.
It would just be delaying, and with that delay comes a risk.
Yeah.
Right.
Would it be more beneficial for us to do something like Allentown did, since it was $4 million for them to almost build an entirely new system?
You know, your treatment plant needs work, right, all around. You can delay some of that cost, or you could just dive right in right now. And there are ways to design units to know that we would be able to treat phosphorus to such a level when that day comes, or design a unit that might need some like one more piece of equipment if the effluent limit changes in the future. But we would only be designing today to what we think the DEP might ask for. So there's risk to it. It'd be an awful thing if we spent $4 million and then there's a new parameter we didn't expect and we don't have the treatment units in place for it.
So are we saying that a new system would have everything that they could possibly ask for?
Not necessarily, because I can't imagine. We can't guess what they would ask for.
You could put $4 million in the system and find out that you're only doing half of what they want.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
The government.
So we're at 0.1 milligrams per liter or something.
No, right now
like
I think you're at 0.26, right now.
So right at the edge of what the, or above?
Right, yes, today right. You have a higher limit
right.
for your phosphorus.
Okay, 0.26, and we're meeting that limit.
Yes.
But they're talking about making it 0.1 instead of 0.26.
That's right, and they already put it into a draft permit and then backed off of the draft.
Because we still have 2 years left on this permit.
On this permit, right.
So chances are when the next permit comes out.
Just don't know.
We just don't know.
So what's causing the phosphorus to be at that level?
It's everything around you. Right. The state wants you to reduce your phosphorus going to the acid pink because all around the acid pink, lawns and farms and fertilizers
right,
are discharging high limits of phosphorus. And phosphorus, it fills in, it makes things grow.
Makes
right,
algae
makes
blooms.
The plants grow. Yep. That's right.
Algae it, blooms.
And those algae blooms pull oxygen from the water. It kills fish.
Fish.
Right. But it's not you. It's not your plant that is the problem. It's all around you, just like every other town. It's all around you.
Yep.
But you are a permitted source under the thumb of DEP, and they can require that you do as little destruction to the waterways, right, rather than farmers.
It used to be in soap, this detergent and all that, and apparently it's pretty much eliminated.
Pretty much gone.
Soaps,
right. But fertilizers.
Fertilizer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lawn fertilizer.
Lawn.
Now, that's runoff into the storm drain, so that doesn't affect the sewer.
Well, it doesn't specifically affect the sewer, but it affects the acid pink. Right?
Yeah.
It all makes its way
yeah.
right to the waters around the borough.
Yeah. I mean, if we were to raise the plant and build another one, is that a stupid question?
Well, that's what I just asked.
Yeah.
Well, right now, I mean, you can, right? There are ways to keep a plant operating
yeah,
while you tear
yeah.
things down and you build
yeah.
new. But if we did that today, we're only designing for, or treating, I should say, for the permit that we know today, right? And there are different techniques to address different kinds of waste effluent parameters, right? So if we design for, you know, for instance, let's say we are not thinking about using the IFAS system, but we're going to build a new plant and we're going to put a screen in the front of this. Right? All the water comes through a mesh.
Yeah.
And we're going to put in, you know, a 1-inch screen. So anything smaller than 1 inch gets through. Anything bigger, it gets collected and thrown into the garbage. And then we decide to put in an IFAS unit. That needs to be at 3 millimeters. You got to have that much of the solids removed, right? What's 3 millimeters from 1 inch? It's like an eighth, a quarter of an inch. It's pretty small. That would be a waste of what we just installed, right? That screen would no longer work, and it's probably $200,000 or so to put that in.
I mean, does the government realize that this plant can only do so much? Do they care? You know?
I'm sure they realize and they know. but
yeah.
right.
You know, yeah.
you know, they don't, I don't think they address the mechanical when they put these together. It's all about the environmental impact.
Carmela, you mentioned about the INI that half of the water that we're treating, what ends up at the sewage treatment plant, is just groundwater that gets into the system and ends up being treated there. Is it worth it to try to eliminate as much of that groundwater as we can? Is it cost effective to We looked at that, I think, years ago with mining the pipes in situform or whatever.
And there's still that technique, especially through the wetland areas, except for where we got big bellies.
Dig that out, right?
Right, those have to be dug out.
If we can address that, would it make the cost any less?
It could.
For the plant?
It could,
okay.
Right? Because the tanks won't need to be as big as we need them to be today.
Right. But then you have the cost of doing that work.
Doing that work.
That work could be expensive.
Yeah, it can be. My other question is, we have to kind of gamble and decide whether or not we think that the standards for phosphate will be reduced sometime in the future. That's why we may have to build the new trickling filters outside the plant to accommodate, to allow more space within the plant in case we need a disc filtration system.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And that's another roughly $2 million for that?
Roughly.
You can't do it you have to kind of anticipate that, because if you're going to rebuild it outside, there's not enough room inside the perimeter.
And that's the trouble here.
Right.
There's not enough room. If you're at that plant, have we all been there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the control building, and right behind it is the sludge holding tank, and just beyond, there's a big hump in the ground, the trickling filters, and on two sides, we've got tanks. Yeah, right, there's no open, wide open space to place anything.
Yeah.
So where might we place something? You know, up in the front? Near where you enter, we could put a unit in. But what happens is we've got pipes now crisscrossing, coming and going. And we're going to need to pump things around as we try to place new needed units, somewhere where they will fit. And then treat and get that water back into the old stuff.
So it's not that we could decide, okay, we're going to replace the trickling filters and then we're going to wait and see about possibility of needing a disc filtration system, because you're going to need to, if you do need it, you're going to need to relocate the trickling filters outside the perimeter.
Right.
So that's your first major hurdle.
Right.
The DEP can't help us with that. I mean, we're rolling the dice on that. It's going to cost an extra $1 million to put it outside the perimeter.
Well, I suppose we could talk with the bureau chief about whether they know what's on the horizon for Roosevelt.
Right.
It's possible. Phosphorus has been, you know, just floating in this area as an issue for a long time.
Yeah. There are problems outside of the perimeter, too. There's a lot more flooding. And it's a lot more of a wetland that's building, especially on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
It's very flooded. Right now,
so,
it's been that way.
So we don't know exactly where the wetland limit is. We don't know exactly where the flood limit is. You know, they're going to be new stormwater rules. And you remember that riverine flood ordinance we just did? It's changing come next spring. Right? There are going to be new updates to it. The gist is, wherever you thought the 100-year flood was, if that's a FEMA number, it's 2 feet higher. And if it's a state number, it's 3 feet higher.
Yeah.
Right? So there's just a lot swirling around Roosevelt.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to talk with the bureau chief to see if there's... But if there's no permit issued, I don't know that she would say, yeah, we think it's going to be this. Because if she says that and you act on it and the permit doesn't come, you're going to be very upset.
Yeah, but it's an extra $1 million to relocate outside.
Right, and we're just assuming we can go this far away.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all going to come with. We need soil borings. We need analysis. We need to know how high to make those tanks to make sure they're going to be above floodwaters.
We need money.
on a question for Greg, the tier B to tier A thing, there's this lawyer company that's trying to get all these municipalities together to deal with that. Would there be a bunch of other smaller towns like us that are facing similar hurdles that any group of lawyers would try to...
Well, I think that's different than what we're talking about here, because that's stormwater.
Yeah, but changing the phosphorus limits and stuff like that for a tiny town.
But it's all because of the arsenic tank.
No.
It's because of the arsenic tank, yeah.
So that doesn't change?
It's your location.
We live by the arsenic tank.
It's the location.
Carmelo, what would be your recommendation, like step one?
Fix what's broke?
Well, what's that?
Fix what's broke?
Fix what's broke. Well, yes. I think I'd only ask one thing. Perhaps some soil borings outside the fence line. Let's find out where the wet line is. Let's find out what it would take to move tanks. If we're only going to move them 10 feet, forget it, right? If we can go 50 feet, then you might want to consider that.
You were talking.
But I walked in here really feeling that we don't know what the future is going to bring. And we should just put those tanks back where they are.
You're talking if we bump the fence out, 3,000 square feet, about 100 feet front to back, about 30 feet out. It seems like that.
Joe, I don't have those kind of numbers right set.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should we just repair? The trickling filters are falling apart.
There's no repair. One's going to have to be like
chop them out, put new ones
gone, in. Put a new one in, get that operating, take the old one down and build a new.
So around $2 million for that?
Yeah, around.
Imagine how water goes.
Good. I mean, this has to happen almost as soon as possible. And in doing that, the input pipe, that 60 feet that's dipped, could that be done at the same time? Or
sure, it could.
Okay. Okay, so when do we have to make this decision? And this would include, like, George Lang, and now that we're having a sliding credit reference or rating, I don't know. How we can do this. Is it financially feasible? We have to do it.
That's sliding.
That has nothing to do with this.
And George,
Well, we have to get the money from somewhere, so George has got to fund
that the kind of funding that involves, that rating does not affect us in any way.
Okay.
What did you say? What did I hear you say?
George Lange had assured us that our credit rating, which had slipped a little, really doesn't affect us. It has nothing to do with the kind of bonding that we go out for.
The kind of money we get. Yeah, I understand.
That's what I said.
$4 million is a hell of a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, no. But Joe was asking, like, would our slipping credit rating affect our ability?
It affect our credit rating as soon as we finish with the 2022 credit rating is back, should go back up to where it was.
It wasn't, doesn't affect
2021, actually, we're still waiting for it.
All right, well, 2021. If we thought 2021 showed up already.
To replace the trickling filters where they are right now and inform the DEP that we don't know, or you can't give us any guidance on whether or not you're going to reduce the phosphate standards. It would seem to me that we would have a valid argument if they did change the standards sometime relatively soon, a few years out or whatever, to get a waiver of some sort saying, we asked you back when we were replacing the trickling filters whether or not you were going to do this. We would have relocated them. However, you know...
Mr. Attorney, that's
your
question for you.
We could go argue with them, but as you know, it's an administrative hearing. So if you're pumping more than your limits into the creek, they don't want to hear nothing. Carmel and I have been down there, East State Street, what, 6-7 times?
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Operating this kind of system is a public responsibility, and that's the way they view it. So
yeah, I don't think
they don't really care if you don't have the money. They don't really care. They don't really care about anything other than the quality of the water you're putting up back out into nature.
Yeah, they're not.
Is that a fair characterization of what we were
very
told about
the trend? Fair. Yeah.
Not like a benevolent grandfather as well, I understand.
No.
Is there anyone else have anything they'd like to ask Carmela? Have her explain?
Yeah, I have another quick question. If when we do put in a new, I'm assuming we will do this project, because we have to. We have no choice. Are the trickling filters going to operate simultaneously, or are they going to operate in series?
Oh, just the way they are.
Just right the way now. They are now, right. Simultaneously operating both of them.
Right, okay. Right.
They're in parallel.
Because you had done an analysis that showed that it was better if they ran in series or whatever. But
not to just put them back the way they are. That's more complex.
Okay.
More pumps, more expense.
So the first step is soil borings outside the fence line to see.
Well, that's only if we think we're going to move the tanks. But
well, I think we need to decide whether or not it is moved. They are moved.
That's true.
To see if that's an option. Mm-hmm.
So you'd like that piece of information?
Yeah.
Okay.
How much? About approximately.
$5,000 to $10,000.
Sounds cheap.
These are the derricks that well drilling companies use. They kind of go down and,
right.
Like when they core drill the side of the trickling filters and brought all the rubble out.
The rubble, yes.
So they have to see if it's solid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if we could remediate some of the water that's going into these new tanks, they would last longer also.
Not last longer. They would not have to be expanded.
They wouldn't have to work as hard either. There's less water going through them.
And the chemical costs would be less.
Chemical costs
right.
would be less.
Right. That's what I was saying.
Right. It was mostly about capacity of the tanks that you have.
Yeah.
They're relatively small. Right? And if we have to do treatment for greater reductions, we need more time in the tanks. That means we need tanks that can hold more.
That would be the phosphorus you're talking about.
Right.
Carmel?
Yeah.
Do we need a wetlands delineation so we have a better idea of what is available?
But that's
be pretty mean. Sure that, like, we're going to be well within whatever buffers are required, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, yes. And there's a riparian zone. On the other hand, you're a wastewater plant and there's nowhere else to do things. So if we have to go into those areas, we would be applying for a hardship permit because you're out of land. You know, you're out of space. You need to treat wastewater, and that's what the hardship is about.
Yeah, would they require us to replace any wetlands? Like someplace else, or
you never know.
They used to do that.
Yeah. I think they still do that, but it's usually not a one-to-one deal.
Right, but we don't want to be in the wetlands. I assume we might be in the riparian zone, and we might be in a buffer. But it wouldn't benefit us to be in the wetlands, no matter what, because. There's too much water, the ground's too soft. Just trying to get in there, right? if we're going to be in the wetlands, we're backing up. We're not going to be in the wetlands. We'll be nearby.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud. Totally different area that you're not restricted where there isn't any.
The reason it's by the wetlands is because it's the lowest point in town.
Exactly.
Right.
Every house in town makes their way there.
All right, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yep,
see, I did pay attention to DEP with you.
All right, well, I will let you know about soil borings and. We can just get a visual. Doesn't have to be anything fancy on the wetlands.
Yep.
Doesn't have to go to DEP, but it'll give us enough information to have the wetland line evaluated.
So the soil bearing you said would cost approximately
$5,000 to $10,000.
Right.
I don't
don't have a resolution, we can memorialize at the next, but do you guys want to take a vote on that?
Go for that tonight, get that out of the way.
Get that letter, get it moving.
Okay, thank you.
Crawling towards it.
If you agree.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so do I have a motion?
I move that we move ahead with the soil drilling and as a first step to dealing with the wastewater plant.
I'll second.
Once that's done, you'll get the results, you'll talk to us again.
Right, I'll come back.
Let me do roll call.
Once more.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so six. So we'll have it on the next one, back.
Okay.
We can got that, Greg?
Thank you.
Take some cookies.
Thank you so much, Carmella. You'll have good news the next time. All right.
Right. Sorry, this is good. Okay. We come to correspondence. The first item is a resignation letter that we received, dated September 14th, 2022, from Jackie Carpenter, resigning as chairperson of the planning board, effective immediately. And the next is the adopted resolution 2022-0769, dated October 27th, 2022, from the Monmouth County Board of County Commissioners regarding establishing the USA 250 Monmouth Committee. Does everybody know what that is? That's actually the beginning of the planning for the United States turning 250 years old in, 26, I guess. In 2026. So the Monmouth Committee is currently being formed.
I have a question. Yeah. Is she resigning, Jackie Carpenter resigning from the board, or is she just...
Both. Both. Yeah. She can't attend meetings anymore. Yeah, it reads as, you're right, Lou, it reads as chairperson, but it's
thank
both.
You, Carmella.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
Hi, Carmella. Thank you. No, it's okay, we're going to come to public comment. And open.
Before you go on, I can't help but say this. And we're talking about all this stuff, and we're dealing with the government and with the DEP. You're dealing with a lot of bureaucracy. And it could be, today it could be this way, and the next day it's the other way.
Yeah.
Depending on who's pushing the button that day. Having dealt with the government for many years, I can tell you, they can drive you nuts.
And the other problem is, we could decide to do this, and then 2 years from now, they'll have a government program that's subsidizing.
Right.
Either subsidizing it, telling you we made a mistake, we wanted something different.
Right. Yeah, and, you're, very good.
And they'll show you no mercy.
Yeah.
But I've dealt with this for years. I know how to get
it. It was similar to the situation
and
we had.
Rubbing their rear ends constantly.
Yeah, it was similar to the situation we have with building a new firehouse. I mean, it was going to cost millions of dollars. There was talk that the county would take it over and become all, you know, countywide police, fire, and first aid, first responders. Or, you know, there could be a time where we had very few volunteers, or we could have no volunteers, and to spend millions when we had no idea what was coming down the road. It was very impractical.
They said yes, and then all something else.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 7:57 p.m. Is there anyone from the public, Mr. Chicton, would like to say anything? All right, I'm going to close public comment at 7:57. Approval of minutes. We have the minutes from October 3rd, 2022, regular meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
Yes.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right, minutes are adopted. We have approval of minutes from the October 17th, 2022 regular meeting minutes. Do you have a motion?
Yes.
Second?
I'll second it.
Great. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
October 17th meeting minutes are adopted. First reading of Ordinance 2022-10, an ordinance amending subpart 5-6.2, license required...
G. Sorry, that's important.
Okay. License required fee of subsection 5-6.2, no G, potentially dangerous dogs of section 5-6, potentially dangerous dogs, vicious dogs of Article 1, dogs of Chapter 5, animal control, to increase license fee for the potentially dangerous dogs within the borough. Do I have a motion?
You have a motion to not to discuss it.
Yeah. And do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
Quick question.
Yeah.
How much is the fee going to be?
I believe $500.
Well, shouldn't that be in the ordinance?
It is.
Annual fee $250. Yeah. I'd say that.
$150 to $250.
Yeah.
No, I thought we were required to.
I thought we were down to $500.
$500. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, but that's what this says though. Now it says $150.
Yeah. $250. Oh, so we're changing. Yeah, it has to be changed according to Monmouth SPCA or Western Monmouth Animal Control to $500.
I just wrote that it's supposed to be $500, Kathleen.
Yes.
That email from Anna said that the price is $250, so that's why I put $250 in there.
I don't think so.
I thought she said $500.
That's what I've been told.
Okay. Well, we can make it $500 right now. No problem.
Shouldn't the fee be in the ordinance?
It is. Page 2.
It is. That's what we're changing, though.
Yep.
That's what we're amending.
Guys want to make it $500?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what.
Went from $150 to $250.
No, it's. I'll double check.
No problem. Done.
Okay.
So, can I get a motion to introduce as amended?
As amended to $500 instead of $250?
Yes, sir.
I'll move that.
Second.
Okay, so wait. Joe is.
So I keep the computer out here. You guys think it's just for show.
And who was second? Was that you, Lou, on the amendment?
Yeah, it's halfway.
It's in the back.
It's through the big pile over here.
It's over here. It's the rabbit stuff.
I thought we did this at the last meeting.
We discussed it.
Oh.
But now the ordinance comes to make the change.
Okay. It's the weather.
It's a large portion. We have told me 25 pages of hers.
Yep, so we got the motion to amend to increase to $500, and now it's roll call.
Okay.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, here.
Yeah. Okay, so the first reading of the ordinance has been adopted, and the public... Oh, you have it over here. Okay, the public hearing will be held on December 12th. 2022 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale, Roosevelt, New Jersey. Resolution 22-103, payment of bills for November 21st, 2022. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a consent agenda.
I know. I just got an answer from Anna, and she confirmed that it is supposed to be $500. As per Monmouth County's. Okay. Resolution 22-104, 2023 software support and license agreement with Edmunds GovTech Incorporated, 2022-105, resolution authorizing an agreement with Monmouth County Board of County Commissioners to provide special citizen area transportation service, SCAT, for the fiscal year 2023. Resolution 22-106, resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt authorizing the sale of surplus personal property no longer needed for public use on an online auction website. And finally, resolution 22-107, resolution appointing the Clean Communities Coordinator. Those are the items on the consent agenda.
Move to move all the items on the agenda.
I'll second it.
Second?
I have some questions concerning
language in the consent agenda?
I think we remove it.
I'm not saying I'm opposed to a particular bill, so I just wanted to have a discussion.
So we'll pass the consent agenda at minus the payment of bills.
So we already have a motion, so we have to amend that. Is it just a question, or do you want it moved?
It's a question related to the bills on the bills list and future bills that may be coming in. So let's remove it temporarily. We can always go back and approve it.
Which one is that?
Well, let's
payment of bills. So
I understand. Which one do you object to?
Well, let's move the rest of the consent agenda, and then we can discuss that and then pass it.
Okay.
So I need
a motion to amend the consent agenda.
To just accept 22-104
through 107. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do you have a second?
Yes.
Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hergstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so now we're on resolution
22-103.
Okay.
Mike, you want to?
Yeah, my question really is concerning the legal bills. The stormwater tier bill. And there was a fair amount of work that's been done on legal research related to the stormwater tier that we're in. And how much are we authorized for that? That's one question that I have. Do we have a limit on?
I don't think we set a limit.
Okay, because it was $2,295 to do the research on whether or not. Well, I guess all the pros and cons of whether or not we should fight tier designation.
It was also to file the appeal.
File the appeal.
I'll put together all the paperwork.
No, I don't have any objection to the bill because there was a lot of research that was done. But our question really is, are we continuing this expenditure? Do we want to continue it? Or because it could cost this much per year? Or do we want to decide whether or not we're going to protest the DEP designation? Do we want to go down that road and have legal expenses of looking at it or not?
Well, is the bulk of the work completed?
Well, I haven't done anything, I can tell you. Well, let's see here. I filed the appeal. There it is. The last bill was August 30th. Yeah, the best bulk of this was going through the administrative code and finding the reasons why we could appeal. And whatever it is, 2295 is what the current bill is. There's nothing after 8:30 at this point. We do have on the executive agenda, when I've tried to pursue getting that full council. But there's nothing else to do at this point except show up when there's a hearing and prepare for that. I haven't billed you since August for it.
So this isn't going to be an ongoing bill that we can anticipate?
Oh, I see what you're saying, because it's all in August. No, yeah. I won't be charging you $2,000 a month. No, I didn't realize it. I understand what you're saying.
Please, just move us to A, tier A.
Let's
be done with it.
No, I haven't built anything since 8:30 on it, according to my system. I just had to put it together by, you can see I spent like the whole first 2 weeks of August figuring out what the heck we're doing.
Okay.
But no, you don't have any other bills other than what that is.
Anything else, Mike?
Sometime I think we ought to discuss whether or not we're going to continue looking into that, or are we going to just roll over with it?
Well, the executive tonight, unfortunately, it's not really private because I don't really have. I called the people that sent you the letter, and I'd like to get them to come here and talk to you in executive session about the utility of doing that, or instead of me researching and figuring it all out, if they're experts and you're going to pay with like 600 or 700 towns, then that would be obviously more cost effective for you. But that's what I'm working on, because I'm saying no.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve and adopt Resolution 22-103, payment of bills for November 21st, 2022? Someone like
I'll
to move
it. That motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, adopted.
We come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing at the moment.
Councilmember Esikoff, Administration.
We're still moving on.
Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
Not much to report. The 2020 audit's been completed and sent to the state, so we're okay with that. We still have the 2021 audit that's due. It was due September 30th, so technically that's past due now, and we need to get the numbers from George over to Jerry so that he can actually do that audit. And again, we are late on that, so we want to.
I thought he has it already.
Yeah, I thought it was coming. What I've been told, it's coming soon.
You were.
Well, Jerry and George told us when we met with them that it would be here by November 1st.
November 1st.
Right. And I called Jerry last week, and he said they're still working on it. He's waiting to get the numbers from George.
Some numbers.
Okay, but we don't have any kind of definite dates.
No, we don't. Once he gets the numbers, he said he'll send a team of four people over here so they could sit and crunch the numbers, spit them out into the audit. So we're still waiting for George and the numbers at this point.
Okay, but we need to keep an eye on that because we don't want to get too far behind.
Yeah.
The other thing under finances, it's looking like we may need some security updates and upgrades in various areas that the borough manages. We don't want to discuss the details in open public session, but I recommend that in the new budget coming up in the new year, we should allocate money for security upgrades of various sorts, just to make sure that we're safe here. And that can be discussed in committee first, as long as it's not a public safety. Yeah.
Who's public safety, by the way? Whose committee? Is that Bob or?
Yeah, Environmental Health and Safety.
Environmental Health and Safety, no, Bob. Bob, okay.
So that might be, that might be under your
opinion. Okay. Okay.
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development Code Enforcement.
Okay, we are working on the two projects that we've discussed in the last couple meetings. One is the amphitheater committee. We had our first meeting on November 1st. Eight of the ten people on the committee were there, and we were bringing people up to speed on what we're trying to do and putting out different actions for the next meeting that we're going to have on the 30th of November to try to flush out the objectives, you know, of the project and hopefully get an answer from the Fund for Roosevelt, hopefully, on what they may want to contribute. And then on the second one is the parcel of land for possible purchase. And Greg had asked to say what is sort of the next step, and I contacted Paul G.L. EITZ, who is our contact at the Monmouth County for the open space funding. And what he said is the next step should be that we should contact the owner of the property for approval for two appraisers to walk the parcel and to have a representative from the committee, from the community, you know, as well, and get an appraisal, the two appraisals, and then we would have to make a decision on what we would accept of those two, and then the negotiations would be the next step you know, with the owner of the property, is what he told me.
I have a question about that. We can only do one or the other in any 1 year, either the amphitheater, put in a grant for the amphitheater, or put in a grant for land acquisition. Is that right?
That is true. And we can't go ahead with anything that we're doing on that project until we at least know that.
Right.
And then we can say, what do we want the timing to be? Okay. You know, I have talked with Gail Hutton on that, and she has her thoughts of what she would like to see happen first, which is the amphitheater, you know, project. However, we need to know this, because the Fund for Roosevelt would also like to contribute money for preserving, you know, the land. And so I think we have to see, are we talking about 60,000? Are we talking about 30,000? What are we talking about here? So that we know what to do.
The
Vitale property? Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't see how we're fooling around with this. The property can't be, you can't do anything with it. It's wetlands. And in certain times of the year, it's really wetlands. And as I told you before, the only things that live there are the frogs.
And cabbage, skunk cabbage.
They're very happy.
And skunk cabbage.
And skunk cabbage, right. On a bad day.
I agree with Gail. I think the amphitheater should take preference?
Yes, I should. Sure.
More pressing.
Well, we all agree that that takes precedence in terms of timing.
And I don't think
but it doesn't say that it's
spend
dead.
Any money on the other one at this time, because, look, you know, it's not our property. It's hers. It belongs to Beth Patel.
So
as far as I'm concerned, she can hang on to it as long as she wants. She's not going to do anything with it. We can't develop it.
May be sold. It may be sold, and it won't
be
her.
Yeah, that's the pressing issue. Is that this farm is for
sale?
She
has
it for sale. So we may not have the opportunity.
Can I ask you a question? Who in his right mind wants it? What are you going to do with it?
We may be getting into negotiations, so we want to do that in close. We'll talk about negotiating.
Connie just said.
Do you have anybody to negotiate?
No.
It doesn't seem like really.
Yeah, I mean, and Connie just talked about what should take
brainstorming,
preference.
Brainstorming.
If the property is in the way of selling or buying, selling her property, if I were her, I'd just give it away. She'd be better off.
That's a whole other.
You know, that's up to her.
It's negotiation.
If that's what hinders selling her property, if that may be a case, I don't know if it will or not. I would just give it away because it's worthless.
At this point, we've agreed to do the amphitheater first, and then we'll further discuss
absolutely.
The property.
Because the appraisals are definitely going to cost, and if I'm correct, don't you have to find appraisals on the Monmouth County?
You have to use
like
the
they
Green
have
Acres.
To be approved?
It has to be Green Acres people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Greg, have you dealt with that before? And do you know what kind of appraisals cost is?
Yeah, it's about $7,500 to
$12,000,
depends on how big the property is. When I've done it for a 3-acre property in Allentown that had development potential, it was about $8,000.
Depends probably on how much.
This is 12 acres.
So is it based on what they see as the value, you know, of the property?
I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to deal with this. I mean, I'd prefer we talk about them in private.
Okay, sure.
I mean, it seems like we're moving forward the amphitheater in the short term. it's not a secret that there's a DEP enforcement action against part of the property as well. That's leverage. I'll just leave it there.
But that's not part of the property. Part of the entire property. Yeah.
All right, let's not venture into that.
Part of
now.
The issue, though, is my point. Yep.
Well, again, I would take care of the amphitheater.
Yeah, I think that's the general consensus.
I think that's what Connie's doing.
Yeah. Anything else, Connie? That's it?
Okay. Could you just spell that gentleman's Paul again? What
yes, it's Glass. Paul. GLEITZ.
Okay. Councilmember Mocker, Public Works.
Nothing today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Councilmember Trammell, utilities.
I got a call from John Cluthie, the State Agricultural Development Commission guy, about NERCO Road. On Wednesday morning at 8:30, he said they were meeting with the federal people, the state people, and the county people there at 1 o'clock, and I was on my way to New York. But I made it back by 1 o'clock in time to meet them there. One thing he told me was that the tree, the Roosevelt tree, is a black...
Black
gum. But they're the oldest living trees on the East Coast, and they can live up to 625-50 years. So
wow.
That's
really?
Our tree. Okay. So that was that. He said that between the state people, the federal people, and the county people, things are moving slowly, but they are moving, and they're trying to figure out the whole drainage situation over there. Okay. So that's it for me. And
yeah, I know he wanted to get that accomplished before spring, so hopefully.
Well,
and where is the tree?
The tree is, do you know where the flooding kind of takes place on NERCO when you're going
okay.
in? Okay, there's a row of trees on your left as you're heading into Hightstown. And on the far side of that row of trees, there's this old, funky tree. I have a picture of it here.
Going in through it.
Okay. And it's about 50, 60 feet tall. It's looks very old. And apparently it was the tree when people came to Roosevelt initially. They saw this tree and they knew that they were in Roosevelt. That was kind of the marker, you know.
How old's the tree now, do they think?
People shouldn't mess with it, so you have to bore a hole in it to see how old it is. But it's probably got a three, four-foot trunk, so
wow.
I'd say it's hundreds of years at this point.
Like so the one in, as soon as you get into the Assentink near Paradise Produce.
Right there.
That's supposed to be.
I think that's
about
a sycamore.
350 Yes, I've heard it's about 350 years old.
Wow.
Okay.
I lead tours. Anyone who's never been to Roosevelt, I take them to see that tree.
Park and charge people to go. You need $4 million.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
So as you're going up 570.
Okay. Reports of borough officials. Mike did anything? Okay. Mike, yeah, I was going to say, do you, Mike?
It's just a short little environmental commission report, but I don't think there was anything really. There was anything really with number one. No, I think we'll do it next time.
No?
Okay. Unfinished business. We had a very promising candidate for crossing guard, and at the last moment, she had to back out. She's in college, and she forgot that her schedule changes in January, and she won't be able to do it. So we are back to square one with having a dire need for a crossing guard.
I have some other old business, unfinished business.
Well, wait, I just wanted to talk about the crossing guard.
Okay.
So we've kind of exhausted every possible, you know, I've spoken to the police, spoken to the school. It's not the school's responsibility. It's the municipality's responsibility. So despite the fact that we are looking at more expenditures than we've had in a long time, I think that the only possibility at this point is to either hire a retired policeman, or I'd like to try to contract Manalapan Police Department for shared services. Manalapan Police Department, they employ, I'm not sure, they're Class 3 police officers, so I think they may be current police officers who just, you know, aren't on duty then, or I'm not sure if they're retired. But they're Class 3 police officers. Right now, we pay our crossing guards $18.50 an hour. These, I think it's mostly men. I shouldn't say for sure, but I think it's mostly men. These gentlemen make, we would have to pay them about $32 an hour. So it will, you know, almost double our cost. Now, it's only an hour a day, half an hour in the morning and a half an hour in the afternoon, but nonetheless, since we haven't had any takers at all, we have no prospective crossing guards, I think this is what we're going to have to...
Do we have to pay for travel time?
Well, I don't know. So that's what I was actually going to ask. I don't know if this would be Connie for community development or Bob for environmental health and safety, but I was going to ask if you were maybe together, the two of you, could talk to the Manalapan Police Department about, you know, having a shared service agreement with them to provide police coverage as our crossing guard. We currently have one crossing guard, so what we're doing is I've moved her from school in Pine, where she was, to the post office, because that's a much more dangerous crossing. And what I also did was I asked Karen Barry, the principal of the school now, if she would send out a flyer. Apparently, I mean, I don't know exactly how many, but a good amount of parents still walk over to school to pick up their children. So I sent out a flyer asking, right, I asked Karen to send out a flyer asking any parent who walks over at school in Pine to pick up their kids from school, would, if they see any other kids crossing by themselves while there's no guard there, would they cross them? Would they, you know, let's have some like community involvement. So if you've come to pick up your kid, please walk, please cross any other kids who happen to be there then, which is, you know, a real stopgap measure. So if you could possibly talk to them and see, because it just looks like we're... I was so excited when this young girl said she would be willing to do it, and I thought she'd be great, and she completely forgot about her schedule change, so I guess she has classes that will prohibit her.
You don't have a contact name, otherwise I'll...
No, I don't. I mean, I spoke to the state police for quite a long time, and that's when they said to me, talk to Manalapan, it's the same county, and you might be able to, you know, they, that's who they employ. So, and does Millstone, do they use no? Well, you don't really, do kids walk to any of the Millstone schools?
Not really.
I don't think so, right?
I don't know if Manalapan is in Monmouth County.
Yes.
What about Hightstown? Do they must walk?
Different county than Mercer.
True.
Well, yeah, you can cross county. You can, yeah. Our trash is from Heights. You know, our trash collection is Heights.
No, I'm just, because I can see them having a lot of people walk. Children walk.
Well, you can check into it, yeah, sure.
Even Allen.
I know for a fact that Manalapan does employ these Class 3 police officers and that possibly they could help us out. We specifically need 2:40 to 3:10 p.m. They can work 8 a.m. What is it? 8:10 to 8:40 in the morning. That would, but that's not as dire as the afternoon shift. 2:40 to 3:10. In the morning is 8:10 to 8:40.
8:40.
But you know, right now we do have someone covering that. But we have no one for 2:40 to 3:10, all 5 days. Okay. New business.
Could I do a little unfinished business?
Oh, did we pass unfinished? Oh yeah, that was crossing guards. Okay. Sure.
Yep. I think we should put together a cannabis committee, council committee, with the planning board and with the environmental committee. We have 3 people that would come and speak with us. The state's representative had a closed town Zoom-type meeting November 2nd, and I participated in it. And there were a lot of people from Central Jersey on it, and they had a lot of questions, and I had a whole list of questions, and I spoke with them, Jesus Alasar, and... he said, why don't you call me or talk to each other after the meeting, which we did. And there was still a lot of questions that he didn't have answers for. He said he would meet with us in a closed meeting at our pleasure.
Is this the Cannabis Regulation Commission?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up also, Joe, because I received a call from the mayor of Allentown who had some proposals for us. But we only have 2 more meetings left. I was wondering if we could just wait, like...
I told him if we could do this sometime early next
right,
year, once we know what our meeting schedule
right.
is. Okay, so that's one.
That's
he's
what
a
I was
state,
hoping.
He's the director of government affairs for New Jersey Cannabis Regulation Commission.
What's his
Jesus El Cazar. Okay. I have two more people. Let me run them down. Then there's Bernard Hanley, who is the committee representative for Neptune Township, and they're quite willing to share their ordinances with us. They have already passed these ordinances, and he is the husband of our tax collector, our tax assessor.
Passed ordinance stating what, Joe?
About growing.
Allowing it? Permitting it?
Allowing it. Mm-hmm. They have ordinances now where they can sell it in the town of Neptune Township.
Yeah, I've been receiving a lot of calls lately, so that's why I thought we should do this after reorg.
Well, yeah, after
the new year. Yeah.
But it's like we might start thinking about it. Also, John Cluthy, who is the state representative that we're talking over there about.
I spoke to him about that as well.
Right, right. He is quite willing to speak with us on a private, as opposed to him being a representative for the state. Apparently, he looks into plants down in southern Jersey, and he knows how it works down there.
Yeah, he has a lot of opinions about it.
A lot of knowledge
about
it.
Yeah, and knowledge, right.
So, you know, something that I think we should put a committee together at some point in time and be able to run with that and see whether it's a plausible thing here.
Now, I have a question.
Sure.
Where is the presenter that showed up the last time?
Well,
is he still viable?
Yeah, he's still viable. And then, as I said, I've heard from a few other people, including the mayor of Allentown, who has some other proposals or possibilities. Thank you. I could not grasp get that word.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. New business. Best practice inventory report. We have, which has
as a requirement, it has to.
Yeah, it has to be done, and it was
be presented.
It's complete.
It's complete, and I got the email that it was submitted from the DCA.
Then we have use of the barrel hall. A resident requested this is this took place.
Well, just to go back to that, you need so many points, and we were well over our points.
Yeah, we are every year. We always come out really high.
Is this one where they tell you they'll block your funding if you don't reach a certain level?
Yeah, but we're always well above the
yes, so George filed that, so we're good.
All right, so the barrel hall was used yesterday. This is just memorializing it for a private event. And then we have the use of the barrel hall. A resident is requesting use for a private event on November 27th from 1 to 4.
And all right, we got to go to the first one, though. Motion.
Oh, you want, okay.
Approve.
The best practice report. Inventory report.
Can we bunch them all together?
I think not.
They'll all pass, I'm sure.
I know.
Well, the
I think
best practice inventory report, no questions. Anybody have any questions?
No.
We're good with that. So, the use of the borough hall, memorializing the November 20th. Normally we get a first, second, and all in a favor.
Aye.
Fortunately, it happened already.
So, none of a lot of choice.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have use of the barrel hall on November 27th, 26th, 27th. Let's do that one separately, okay? Does that, we can do an all in favor, can't we?
Yeah, just a first, second, and all in favor.
Okay, do I have a motion for a private event on November 27th?
What days of the week are these?
Well, Thanksgiving is, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
So we can conflict.
No.
Well, Anna would
sure.
Anna would have never put it on the agenda if it was going to conflict with anything.
I just have questions about the setup on the 26th. When, how much access would they need? How many hours did they give it timed?
No.
They didn't.
Let me see if Anna wrote it in there.
Does it matter?
It might, because there's a number of rap events that are coming up, and people who curators have spoken about coming to Borough Hall to check it out for the rap events. I just wanted to make sure it didn't conflict with any of that.
No, Anna would never. She checks all that out before she puts it on the agenda.
But she may not know about the schedule on the rap event.
Right. So I don't have that.
I know she does have a wrapped calendar, though.
And yeah, but this is days before.
Yeah, there's nothing happening.
There's right. a December 3rd photography.
Right, exhibit. Right.
And I know Ben talked about coming in here.
Oh, before that.
Yeah, before that and just looking at the layout and trying to figure it out. But we'll just tell him that the 26th is no good to do that.
Yeah, and maybe he should let Anna know so she's aware of it. Okay. So nothing gets...
Yeah, he may just want to come in during the day when the bar is open.
If he decides to come and they're here, he'll just put it off.
Right.
Okay, so do I have a motion for the November 27th private event?
Yes.
And second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And lastly, we have use of the Barrel Hall for an author fair on December 18th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. They'll be setting up on December 17th, and that's a book fair. And I believe some authors will be here, but I'm not completely certain about that.
Do we know who?
Yes, it's actually a woman the woman who organized it and arranged it. I don't actually believe she's a resident, but she's in June Kellerman's Tai Chi group, and she's from Millstone, and she's sponsoring it.
But it says resident.
I know, I saw that, but...
Okay.
Maybe.
I didn't realize she wasn't a resident.
Yeah. She's a visitor.
This doesn't go against any policies that we have.
They seem to be all Christian authors. That was the only thing I...
Definitely. You know what I'm asking. I mean, is it just...
Well, it's kind of a commercial thing. It's it's a book fair.
They're going to be selling books.
It's not a private party.
What's our policy for use of Borough Hall? Is it just for residents requesting use, or is it...
I don't know the answer to that either.
I think we rejected a few.
Yeah, I don't think you ever set a policy.
No.
No, we're on the ballpark of a policy.
I've drafted a few, but you guys have not adopted any of them to date.
We didn't adopt any of them.
I think we rejected some.
You did.
Oh,
I don't know about that.
You didn't allow us.
Well, how do you feel about this? Since we don't have an actual official policy.
If it's a policy, I'm against it. If it's not a policy, I'm not.
Well, how about a straw poll? How does everyone...
Rules are rules, folks. You know, you can't... Let's not stop stretching them.
So the policy of the borough is that the Borough Hall Council meeting room, together with its kitchen and restroom, shall be available for event rental at such times as may be designated and upon such conditions as may be imposed by the borough in its sole discretion.
Nothing about residency.
Rental fee. All Roosevelt residents and Roosevelt-based community organizations shall be exempt from the rental fee. All other applications shall be submitted with a non-refundable rental fee in the amount of $150 to cover the borough's administrative and janitorial costs.
Right.
Also have to put a $300 security deposit in. But you do not have the rental restricted to residents only, but it's free for residents.
So it's a buck and a half for out of town.
So you just have to notify that.
$350.
I don't get the application, so I'm sure Anna's aware of it, but I can't. I don't know.
I'm curious. Is the woman understanding that she's going to have to pay the fee?
Anna is up on all this stuff.
That's why I keep trying to tell everybody.
I don't know why you guys have no faith, and she listens to the minutes, and then she emails us and says, "I took care of it."
I know, that's why I keep saying.
Almost every meeting you guys do this.
Right, and I said Anna's not going to put this on the agenda unless she has ascertained that everything is, you know,
she is not a slouch.
Kosher with it.
She runs your whole borough when you're not here.
Yes, she does.
Well, you want to put that aside for a minute, and I'll
go to
public comment at 8:38. I'm going to open the floor for public comment. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment on any item only? Any items at all, Mike?
Yeah,
It's on. Okay, what I wanted to mention, Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. Okay, I wanted to have a little further discussion of the question my friend Council Manestikoff raised about that parcel on the north side of Lake Drive. Number one, the point there was that everything else in Roosevelt has green acres behind it. This would be the only parcel that doesn't. The valuation of it would take into account any wetlands that are there, so we don't have to think that we're paying some huge amount for wetlands, because the valuation will reflect what is or is not wetlands. And also, since it's on a slope, I wouldn't assume how much of it, without seeing a delineation, I wouldn't make any assumptions as to how much is wetlands. And I don't think all of it is wetlands by any means. Because it's on a slope, the lower part of it would be, but not the upper part of it. So I think we should move forward at an appropriate time with this process and get it resolved.
After the monument.
Yeah. After the amphitheater thing is taken care of. Sure.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. And I would just like to add in, for all the doubting Thomases, that the woman sponsoring the
I'm sorry.
What time is it?
8:39.
I will close public comment. And the woman organizing the author's fair did pay the deposit.
I never doubted it at all.
Anna, we trust.
No, you don't, though.
I do.
This side of the day is
when we did talk about who we are allowing, and certain people to use the hall, it is up to the discretion of the council whether we would approve. So I know I did ask Anna for the author names, and she did send me some, and I did look them up, and I think it's going to be fine. But I think we need to know for future events, especially for an outside group, we wouldn't want a white supremacist group coming in and selling books. Part of the request should state who the authors are right ahead. And then we could approve it or not.
We don't ask when people rent it for a party. We don't say who's the party for, who's coming.
There has to be an element of
trust. I mean, this woman is sponsoring an author's fair.
We're on both sides here.
If somebody came in and said they want to have a party, it was a birthday party. I guess there's not much to question.
Well, sure there is. They've had instances where people have ordered cakes want to name their children like Adolf Hitler, or want to put on the birthday cake something about Adolf Hitler.
So we would approve that?
I don't know. I just don't think we should micromanage too much. I mean, it's an author's fair. I can't imagine that.
No, just to know who the authors are.
I think it makes sense to know what's going on with it, because it's not a resident request.
Right.
It's a little different. Yeah. And it's an author fair, not a private party from a resident.
I'm okay with the authors that she's having. I did research
right.
it.
Okay.
But she's not selling copies of Mein Kampf here.
That we know of.
That we know of, yes.
Okay. Well, no, I will, yeah.
Okay.
Someone's doing that. I'd like to know who they are.
Yeah. Here, yeah.
No, I don't think they would tell us in advance, though. I think they would just show up with the books.
No, obviously, if there was a book fair and they had Mein Kampf for sale, I'm not going to censor books. But if that was part of a larger Scholastic book fair, and that was one of the books, there's not much you can do about that. But if it was an authors that were all of a certain ilk that we did not approve of, I think the council could say, we don't approve of this event being held here.
Tell you what, you can. I'll have Anna run the different parties by you.
I already did. I say yes.
And you did exactly what you should do. Right. Call up and question. I still need a motion and a second. Are you for it?
Yes.
You're Mike first. Who's Mike second?
Second?
Mike. Okay. And then all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Okay.
We
so we
need,
did public comment now.
Yeah, questions. We're having a closed session, so what are your statements?
Mike, thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Is it in your, I just lost it because I was shuffling papers. Do you have it at the end? That resolution?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I was shuffling. I got it.
You got it? Okay.
All right. Resolution 22-108. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act enacted October 21st, 1975 permits the public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirement of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in the order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now therefore be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session. That the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matters, items falling under attorney-client privilege, update on reassignment MS4 Tier B to Tier A, potential litigation, industrial zoning. That no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this manner. Do I have a motion to adopt Resolution 22-108?
Yes.
I'll second it.
Who is that, Bob?
Yes. And can I have my paper thing?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Lou, did you say yes? Yes. Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Why are you pissed?
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so we are in at 8:45, but we got to turn everything off.
microphone's off.
Okay, we got a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Second, Joe?
I got the second, yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, time out, 9:16. Thank you.